call the show, 368-WESB. That's 368-9372.
Well, good morning and welcome to another season of The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. Bob, thank you so much for coming back for another season. It is fantastic to see you.
Well, it's great to be here.
All right. So, as always, we have the phone lines available for you. So if you'd like to ask a question for Bob, and it doesn't matter what you're talking about.
That's right. Yeah. And please do ask some questions. So you can lead me in what direction you want me to be.
There you go. So anyway, the phone lines are open. 814-368-9372. That's 368-9372. And of course, you can always send us an email to garden@wesb.com. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Harris.
Okay.
Oh, and the phones are already ringing. Look
all
at this.
All right.
Just an introduction. They're just lining up to talk to you.
What, you want to answer the phone or?
Why not?
Okay.
Why not? That's why we're here, right?
That's right.
Hi, good morning. You're on The Gardening Show.
Yes, I'd like to ask Bob, where can you buy nitrogen? I understand sometimes you can put your seeds in that after they've been in water, and they'll take off growing faster.
Okay. I've never heard of that before, but there are some seeds, and some that have a hard coating, like Morning Glory. It's a good idea to soak them in like a hot tea or warm tea or coffee. Now, that is nitrogen. Probably a lot of people don't know. There is a lot of nitrogen in coffee and tea. And that does help crack the seed coat so that they germinate a little quicker and a little better. I hope that's what you're talking about. You don't want to use just pure plant food nitrogen. I would suggest more like coffee or tea, or you know you can just do warm water overnight, just overnight. Does that answer your question, ma'am?
Yes. Well, I have some peas. You know,
peas. Okay.
And I understand you're supposed to start them earlier in the year. I haven't planted them yet. I wanted to rush them along.
Okay, so that's it. You'd want to soak them seeds overnight before you plant them, and that'll help break that seed coat open so that the seed can get going quicker. And then you're going to plant them right in the ground, right, or into pots?
No, in the ground.
In the ground, yeah. Okay, so that would be my suggestion. Give them a little soaking in your coffee or tea, warm. You know, of course, it's going to cool off overnight, but start with that warm coffee or tea. And again, that the acid and the nitrogen in there helps break that seed coat, so you'll have better germination.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend, and good luck on your peas.
That's a pretty good question, you know, because starting seeds can be a mystery to a lot of people. And a lot of us have success by just putting them in the ground, and they all come up with no trouble. But to assure a better germination, some of those seeds, you know, you don't want to do that with little seeds like lettuce. But some of the bigger seeds that have a dark coating usually indicates, too, that it's a hard coating and may need a little help in breaking open. Another way of doing it, if you can find it, there's usually some fungal or bacterial comes in a little envelope to help start your seeds. That fungus will attack the seed coat, help break it open, and then you'll have success that way too.
We have another phone call, Bob.
Okay,
ready
good.
To go. 814-368-9372 to get your question to the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. And you're next on the air. Good morning.
Hi. I need to reseed my lawn. Can you give me some tips on how to do it?
Why, certainly. Yeah. It's a fun thing to do, really. To reseed your lawn, the best way to go about it, you know, there are shortcuts, but they're not quite as successful. The best way is to kind of scratch the surface. You have to scratch that surface a little bit. And so that may take a nice heavy-duty leaf rake or a garden rake. That's that one that has the straight end with the little points coming off of it. I even like to sharpen mine a little bit, those points, so it makes it a little easier to do. So scratch the surface. Mm-hmm. If you can't scratch the surface, then maybe broadcast a little topsoil there so you have that loose soil. Then broadcast your seed. Then take a leaf rake and rake over it so all the seeds get dirty, and a lot of them will even get underground just a little bit. Then the next step, if you can, you don't have to, but if you can, then to roll it. That will put the seeds in real intimate contact with the soil. That's important. And then you can water. Water it in to the point, not to the point to where it runs off, but get it good and wet, and then keep it wet for the next week or two.
Okay. Do I have to cover it up with hay or burlap or anything?
It's a good idea to do that, and to do it with straw or burlap.
Okay.
Or any covering, plastic, old tarps, depending on if you got a bald spot, you can cover it with a tarp or burlap. But if you're just trying to fill in your whole lawn, of course, you don't want to cover it up because you can affect the rest of the grass that way. And another thing to do, if you are just trying to fill in, mm-hmm. You may want to mow the lawn real short first. And the reason being is because those seeds do need some light and heat, so cutting the lawn nice and short will help expose that bare soil a little better for you.
Okay, and I have one more question. Some of the lawn is like it's low, so I was going to fill. Should I fill that in with soil first?
Yes, definitely. Yes, yeah. It's a good time to fill in all those low points or rough areas. If you're going to do some seeding, helps you out a lot on mowing. So a nice level lawn is a lot easier to mow than a rough rutted one or little divots or holes in it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, and good luck.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. And hey, we're starting off with a bang here on the gardening show this season.
That's right, yeah.
And we haven't even gotten to your notes yet.
No.
This is a good thing.
And so I want to touch a little bit more on that seeding the lawn, too, because a lot of people, you know, grass seed can be expensive. Everything in gardening now is expensive. So don't try to reuse old grass seed. You're going to be really discouraged because it's your grass seed's only good for a year or two.
I was just going to ask because I had some in my garage for, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, yeah, and that's probably no good. Oh. You can test it if you like. Do a little bit of soil, put that grass seed down, and try to press it into the soil a little bit, and then water it and see if that germinates within a week. And if it doesn't, then it's probably no good. Then feed it to the birds. But if it is good, well, then go ahead and use it. But most grass seed, you'll even see on the package, they'll have a date.
Oh, okay.
On it. And so you don't want to try to use old grass seed because it can be discouraging doing that.
By the way, you say feed it to the birds?
Yeah.
I'm not feeding my birds this year.
You're not?
Avian influenza.
Oh, true, true.
I have chickens.
Yeah, okay.
So I have to keep the wild birds away. So, and unfortunately.
That brings up a good point because it is a concern. Geez, seems like every couple of years we have some problem with the yeah. birds. That it's a personal choice. I'm going to continue to feed them in my area. Nobody has chickens. And I haven't seen a decrease in the bird population.
Yeah, around here there's no outbreaks, but boy, oh boy, yeah, millions of birds already.
But be aware of that yeah. if you are feeding the birds, watch them close, you know. And if you start to see sick birds or a mm-hmm. real decrease in population, maybe you should stop. So that you won't continue to spread that disease.
Yeah, have them all congregate and give it to each other. Yeah.
And maybe spend a little time cleaning your feeder once in a while.
I see you brought some show and tell. I should mention, by the way, that we are on Facebook Live. It's working.
Oh, okay.
For right now.
Okay.
So you can join us on Facebook.com/WESB1075, and you could watch us talk in microphones. But also, Bob has some. What do you, I don't know. What do you have today? Will we get to that later?
Yeah, we're going to get to it right now.
All right, go ahead. I don't want to jump to conclusions or, you know.
Mother's Day is tomorrow, so.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. I forgot all about it.
It's an extremely important plant day. Matter of fact, this is what kicks off the gardening season every year, Mother's Day. So I want to.
Put those a little bit closer to the camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
First, I want to point out. This is a petunia. It's one of my favorites, not only because they're a beautiful plant, but because they're also a great pollinator plant.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting about them, you can see kind of white on the I'll get up again.
Well, we can see it.
A white on the outer edge and then getting darker as it goes in. And the flower is funnel-shaped. And that coloring really shows the pollinators where the nectar and the pollen is.
It's like a target, like a bullseye.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the bee can land on the flower, and then it's directed by that darker and darker color in there to show them where the food is. So it helps attract a lot of pollinators, helps attract a lot of humans that way, too. And the petunia is a great one. For me, also, because it covers a big area. I'm going to talk about marigolds here in a little while. You know, they're a small plant. They may get 8-10 inches tall and maybe 6-8 inches wide. Petunia is going to get 8-10 inches tall and 2 foot wide.
Wow.
So they're a great space saver. You can buy one petunia or a whole six-pack of marigolds, yeah. So I like petunia, and one of its close relatives to most people, the Calabricoa. I'm going to bring that up.
Yeah, too. That one's a little harder to see. That's smaller and more of a pale color.
Or most people call it million bells. Million bells. And what it really looks like is a miniature petunia, even though it isn't. And it's the same thing, a nice funnel-shaped flower with a different coloration to direct that pollinator deep in there to where the nectars are. And these plants do have a lot of nectar, so they're great for for attracting the hummingbirds and keeping them around for a long time.
Mm.
And then again, marigolds, hard to beat a marigold. It's a tough plant, grows anywhere, comes in other colors, though.
I was going to say, I have plenty of those in my yard. They're known as dandelions.
Oh. Yeah. This is also a great plant and will attract pollinators, but you probably rarely see a hummingbird buzzing around it. But also, just a great, great plant, old-fashioned. And the reason it's old-fashioned and still great is because it's such a good plant. Like the petunia.
Oh, okay.
And the geranium. Those plants are some of the older plants that we put in our garden for good reason, they are. So
if we plant them now, can we assume that there's no more snow? Do we have to be worried about that, or are they hardy enough to go through it like another May kind of frost that we might get?
Chances are I would not plant them yet.
Okay.
Not till the end of May.
Okay.
But most of the Mother's Day plants are going to come in a container. And if they don't, well, then you can put them in a container. And then if there's a fear of a extra cold night or frost, we can bring them into a protected area like the garage or inside a sunroom or even in the house just to protect them from that frost. Because a frost, you know, they've all just came out of the greenhouse. So they they haven't been acclimated.
Yeah.
We call it hardened off yet. So it's a good idea to give them that extra protection. So to me, even if it's going to get below 40, I would bring them in, you know, because the chances are there could be a frost even at 40 degrees.
Right, yeah.
Some areas we have cold pockets in our yard and warm pockets. So just to protect them, take a minute and bring them in.
Now, these are partial shade, full sun?
Those are all full sun.
Okay, so they need how many hours does that mean, like 8 hours?
No. A good six. Okay. You know, you can get away with four. The less sunlight you have, the less flower you'll have. But they'll all withstand at least 4 hours of sunlight. But if you can give them more, then the better.
All right. Excellent. Well, thanks for that. We're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And thank our sponsor, Worth W. Smith. We'll be back. And we'll take more phone calls, too, if you have any. 814-368-9372. We'll be back with more Gardening Show right after this on B107.5 FM.
It's time to start tackling your springtime projects. That means a few trips to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. You'll find plenty of railroad ties and lumber in stock, blue plastic barrels, and of course all the gardening tools and grass seeds you'll need. Now at Worth W. Smith, check out their new Blackstone griddles. Remember to fill up your propane tanks too. And if you're thinking of getting an air conditioner this summer, get it now while the selection is best. As always, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And just like that, we return with more Gardening Show on B107.5 FM, AM 1490, and Facebook.com/WESB1075. Phone lines are open, 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. Bob, you wanted to talk a little bit more about our show and tell today. The flowers that you showed us and a little bit more about the care that they need.
Okay, yep. And the care, you know, most of them are going to be sun lovers. So how do you tell, you know, if it's full sun? You got to at least have 4 hours of sun. 6 hours would be better. And the more sun you have, the more flowers you'll have. So in your yard, how do you tell if it's full sun or not? Of course, you got to, you know, watch. You know, the sun rises. That may be still in the shade yet for the first few hours. And then the sun may start to hit them, or even not till afternoon, after lunch. But that still can be full sun. If it's after lunch till evening, that's still full sun. But a good way to tell is on a sunny day, you walk out there where you want to put your plants and look at your shadow. And if you can't see it, well, then it's probably not sunny. It's probably shady, even though there may be nothing overhead. If you can barely see it, then we call that part sun. And most of these plants are going to withstand part sun.
They're just not going to thrive as much.
Right. And if your shadow is really dark, then that's going to be called full sun. And, of course, then all these plants here are going to be real happy and flower the best that they can flower, as long as you do all the other things that are included in caring for a plant. And with these are all what we call annuals. I'll talk about perennials in another show. But the annuals, that means they're a plant that...
One and done, right?
Yep. Grow this year, and then the first frost, they're done forever. They're not going to come back.
Mm.
But as an annual, they have such a short season of growth that they flower continuously the whole season. So that's the big benefit of an annual, is you're always going to have a flower every single week. And if you care for it the correct way, and it's no big deal to care. You don't have to go through a lot. You'll have a spectacular show. So some of the care is first watering. A lot of us tend to overwater, and most plants fail from being overwatered. Too much water.
You're loving them to death.
That's right. Yes.
They could be a little thirsty sometimes.
And what happens when you're overwatering? The soil becomes saturated, and as it's saturated, a lot of fungal spores start to come to life, and they attack the plant. So once in a while, let the plant try to dry out, and you'll keep the fungus down, especially if it's a well-drained area, should be well-drained. You don't want to plant any plant in an area that's wet unless you're planting a rain garden. Then, of course, yeah, you would look for a wet spot. But most of the plants, especially annuals, are going to want well-drained soil. So take note of your watering. And don't think you just got to get on a schedule and go water every day. We get lots of rain and even dew. Dew can amount to a small rain, enough to support the plant and keep it growing well. So watch the watering. Watch it close. A lot of ways you can do it. You know, I like to just lift the weight of a potted plant. You'll get to know when it's wet, it's a little heavy. When you go to pick it up, that probably means it's dry and needs watering. You can also tell by the color of the soil.
I'm just going to put these.
Okay.
Put those over there so we can have them on the table so people watching can see them.
In most potted plants, if you look at the soil and it looks like black coffee, it's wet.
Yeah.
If it looks like coffee with cream, then it's probably getting dry, so it's time to water. And so that's a good indication. Another thing that's extremely important to annuals, because they try to complete their life cycle in a very short period of time, is fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to take a call now?
Or? Well, you could finish your thought.
Oh, that fertilizer is extremely important for annuals. Because they're going to try to complete their whole life cycle in a short period of time. So they're going to grow fast, use a lot of food. They're going to flower profusely. So that takes a lot of food, so a lot of energy. So it's a good idea to get on a fertilizer schedule. And what a good schedule to go is to fertilize every third watering.
Oh, okay.
That makes it real easy for you. So I'll water it with just plain water for two times. And then the third time I water it, I'll mix up a batch of fertilizer and fertilize it that way then. And that will keep your plant healthy, flowering real well, and continue to grow.
Phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. And if we don't answer right away, just let it ring. We'll get to you.
Yeah, we'll get you.
And then I wanted to ask you, you said overwatering, bad. What about, I mean, we've seen it's been so rainy here and wet. Should we be concerned about natural water? And is there anything to do to, if they are overwatered naturally in the rain, what do we do about it?
Yeah. That's a good question too, because some yards just don't drain well. So those plants, if we're going to put them in the ground, now potted plants are different.
Mm.
They're going to drain well even if you get lots of rain. But try to put them in an area that gets plenty of sun so it can help dry them out. Oh, and good air circulation. Don't put it in a corner up close to a wall if you can avoid it. That can give you less air circulation, of course, less chances of drying out. Those areas can stay damp for a longer period of time. So if you have a spot that you're worried about, then you can plant it on kind of a mound, where a small mound, maybe 3, 4, 6 inches high. Make a mound, plant it on top of that mound. That's going to help the drainage a lot more than planting it on a flat surface or even a little below the level of the ground. That below the level of the ground is guaranteed to stay wet longer.
Yeah, it'll collect a puddle.
I know people are going to say, well, that means I'm going to have to water less.
Mm.
But if we get a lot of rains, and we can, that's going to harm the plant. So I always like the plant. We can always add water, but we can't take it away.
Okay.
That comes from Malcolm Graham. Bless his heart. Boy, he preached that all the time. So that's a good thing to think about. You can always add water when a plant's dry, but once it's wet, you can't take that water away. So you're going to cause harm to the plant.
So just build it up a little bit, a little bump.
Yeah, a little bump.
Dirt, a little mound.
Maybe dig a little deeper. Loose soil is going to drain a lot easier. And because you're going to incorporate a lot of air into that ground, those roots need air just as much as they need water. I'll repeat that 100 times through the year here. That's extremely important. if the plant is really in a dry spot, but if you water it properly, those roots are going to continue to search down until they find moisture. Give it a chance. It will eventually take hold to where you're not going to be married to a garden hose or a watering can. So just be patient when you first plant that plant. Of course, if we get rains every week, you know, that old rule is if we get an inch of rain a week, then you don't need to water. Let your plants dry out. Let them roots search out for soil. The bigger the root system, the better the plant will have in the long run.
All right, we have 5 minutes left in the show, and we can take your phone calls if you have any. 814-368-9372. What else is on the agenda today, Bob?
I want to stress that a little bit more about fertilizer.
Fertilizer, okay.
Especially Mother's Day, you know, is real popular for hanging baskets. And we have a huge choice of hanging baskets here in Bradford. We're pretty lucky there. But to keep them really looking good, they're going to take a bit of fertilizer. Now, if you got that hanging basket underneath an overhang where it's not getting a lot of rain, you're going to have to watch the watering and fertilizing a little closer. Now, if it's out where it's going to get rain, you're going to have to watch it even closer.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because as that rain falls into the pot, it's starting to wash away some of that fertilizer you put in there. Because most of the fertilizer is what we call water soluble. So as rain gets in there, it can wash it out. So sometimes we even have to fertilize a wet plant, even though I've just told you don't. Sometimes we do. So if we've had a lot of rain and we feel that it's washed that fertilizer out, maybe it's time to fertilize again. I can't stress enough how important fertilizer is, especially to these annuals and especially to Mother's Day plants, to keep them blooming real well. So keep that in mind. I hope I haven't confused you at all here with it.
No, I guess I need to read directions, that's all, on the fertilizer bag, because I just never know how much to put in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like I said, a simple rule is every third watering, add fertilizer.
Yeah, but how much?
How much? Well, go by the directions of the book.
That's what I say, yeah.
Package. Most of us are going to buy that soluble, dissolvable fertilizer. The blue crystals or the green crystals. We'll put a couple scoops in our watering can, mix it up real well, and water it in. So that's I'm talking about that. Now, some people are going to prefer the dry fertilizer, which is little granulars or kernels.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I forgot about the kind that goes in the watering pot.
Yeah. Now, those are already developed to dissolve very slowly. So if you are using a dry fertilizer, okay, but very few people do, then we can fertilize once, and that's usually good for a month to 2 months, even 3 months at a time. But knowing how much, you got to really read the package, because they're all developed a little bit differently. We just don't want to cover the whole surface, because fertilizer, there are salts in fertilizer. So that salts can build up, and of course they start to burn the roots and harm the plant. So using a dry fertilizer, we would just want to do a light sprinkling, more or less like you would salt your hamburger or your omelet there.
Okay.
And so a very light sprinkling of it.
All right, very good. And I think on that note, we're going to wrap up our first episode, Bob.
Okay.
Geez. Wow. Yeah, we went through it quickly. We had some great phone calls.
Yeah, thank
you. And if that's any kind of precursor to the season, I think we're going to have another good one.
Yeah, I've got a lot of information I collected over the winter, and so I hope you keep listening. We'll keep the show going.
All right. Sounds like a plan. And thanks to our sponsor, Worth W. Smith, and keeping the show going as well. So
yeah,
thank them. And we'll be back next week on Saturday, 8:30. It's The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris on B107.5. Make it a great week.